what God have done for him, even bringing him into the ministry, even making him an apostle, one who prosecuted the church, and yet God used him to, and he was the greatest apostle, Paul, to proclaim the word of God. And we have a lot to be thankful for, because through this here, this chapter, Paul talks about the church here at Philippi. He was thankful not only for their encouragement, but their support and their love that they showed towards Paul. Philippians chapter 1, it said, Paul and Timothy, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which at Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. One thing I want us to notice here, Paul talked about he addressing or greeting or saluting these brethren. And one thing he said to all the saints. You know, that's a word that so often you hear Christians, people say, well, we are not saints. But the Bible teaches us that we are saints. And when the Bible tells us what we are, what we can be, that's what we are. Now, the point why we might say we are not saints, because we have to live up to that. We have to live up to where God wants us to be. So we are saints because God said we are. And that's what our life ought to strive to be. It's not that we are perfect people, but we ought to strive to be what God would have us to be. Sometimes we make excuses why we can't when God said we can. But Paul is here, he's addressing here, saluting the brother, he's a Paul and Timothy, the servant of Jesus Christ to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. So we realize that this church had elders. And also in verses 2, he said, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But one thing we fail to understand about the word saints, one definition that I got, it said, all of God redeemed. That's what a saint is, all of God redeemed people. And another definition is one that is set apart. We are to be set apart from the world. Even though we are in this world, we are to be set apart from what the world is doing. Brother Wheat was teaching Bible class this morning, and we talked about being someone that the world ought to see different. We ought to stand out. We don't have to walk around with a big chain or cross on our neck. It's not about what we wear, it's who we are. It's the life that we are striving to live. Because that's the life that God wants us to live, and we can't live this life without God. So many times people strive to be a Christian. They even use the word, I'm born again. But to be everything that the Bible teaches us to be, we have to be taught of God. We have to live it the way God wants us to live it. And yes, we can be thankful. Paul was thankful for this congregation because this congregation supported Paul. It encouraged Paul in his ministry. In verses 3, it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I'm reminded of you. And then he said, always in every prayer of mine, all making request with joy. Paul said, I'm praying for you. And this prayer Paul was praying for, he was doing it with joy in his heart because of what they have done for him. The encouragement and the support that he got from this congregation. And then he said, be in confidence of this very things which had begun a good work in you and will perform. Be in confidence of this very thing, that which had begun. God have created something in Paul's life, and Paul was sharing it with other Christians, or with those who are to be Christians. And let's back up to verses 5. It said, for Paul said, always in thanking God for them, he's always in every prayer making requests with joy. He said, for your fellowship. Paul is saying, I thank God for what we share. Oftentimes, we don't look at the fact that what we have in common, what we share with one another. That's why Bible class is great. Because when we're at Bible class, when we're there Sunday evening, and when we're there Wednesday, if all possible, we are together because we are sharing something. We are sharing this love that God has for us. We are sharing a fellowship, a joint participation. We're sharing love. We're showing our thanks. And not only are we encouraging to one another, we're encouraging, we are pleasing God. God is well pleased in us. So for our fellowship, Paul says, in the gospel, it's not just a fellowship. Sometimes people think everything we do is a fellowship. Yes, people come together and they share a thing. But the fellowship Paul is talking about, it's distinct. He said, a fellowship in the gospel. We are all sharing a message. We are all living a message. And this is the fellowship that we share with one another, is the gospel. A lot of times we think it don't make any difference, but it makes a difference because we are sharing fellowship in God's words. We have something in common. We have the gospel. We are called into this gospel. And Paul's talked about saints, as I spoke a little earlier. Let's notice this right quick before we go on. In Romans 1, 7 and 8, the reason why we are saints, because this is what God calls me to be. This is what God called you to be. In Romans 1, notice what it says. Romans 1 and verses 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be. We are called to be saints. God called us to be saints. It's not something we can make of our own self. God called us to be that. And God doesn't call you to be something or tell you to do something without giving you the strength to carry it out. That's the love of God. God give us, he calls us, he tells us what we can be. You know why unity is easy? Because of God. And I'm not saying that by ourselves. No, we know by ourselves. Unity is easy. But it's hard when we are hard-headed. But it's easy to be in unity with one another. When we recognize what God teaches us to be. When we recognize that this is what God wants me to be. This is what God wants my life to be. And that's why Paul here in Rome says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul said in the same chapter, verses 8, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout all the world. You see, by being what God called them to be, by being a saint, you know, anytime a person faith is being spoken of, you better make sure it's scripture. We better make sure that it is from God, because we have a lot of faith in the word. But Paul is saying, your faith is spoken of. It's spoken of because I can read about it. It's spoken of because you have been taught the way of God. That's why Paul is saying, that's why Paul can rejoice for being an apostle, but being a servant of God, because he has made known something that is spoken of throughout the world. He said, for your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And that's what Paul was, the point he was making in the book of Romans. But here it says, he's talking about this fellowship that we share in the gospel. He said, from the first day, you know, the Philippians have served Paul from the very first day from the very first day they became a Christian, it's sort of like being born again. You know, when Paul talked about this Philippians Christian, I was thinking about as a newborn child, and I was thinking about my grandbabies. You know, I remember picking up Jada at the age of 2, and she was, this little girl was so smart, Brother Gail. At the age of 2, she's a paw, I picked her up and she's a pawpaw, boo-boo. Now, she telling me, I told, but she wasn't potty trained. I told Derek, I said, this girl can tell me that I might get something on me at the age of 2. I said, this girl need to be going to the restroom by herself. But at the age of 2, she's a no pawpaw potty. And I thought so much of that. And so I'm just telling, you know, but as life go on, we grow. And so as Paul said, from the very first day, he seen what this congregation was, seen what they have done in their life. He said from the very first day up until now, they were supporting Paul then and they were still supporting. They were sharing in the gospel then and they're still sharing in the gospel. And that's the way our lives ought to be. We ought to continue to share in this gospel. We might not always be pleased with certain things, but we are sharing in something that's going to save souls, going to help one another, going to build us up. So they will continue to share in this gospel. They will continue to support Paul. Being confident of this very thing, the day which which have begun a good work in you will perform it. He's talking about God. God began this work. No man can stop it. You might slow it down, but you can't stop it. Because he, as Paul said, who had begun a good work in you will perform it. God gonna do it. You see, one thing about the gospel, as we talked about also in Bible class, man might hinder the gospel. He might even twist it, but you can't stop it. Because the day of judgment, we'll meet the truth in judgment. We'll be judged by the truth in judgment. So we need to know the truth now. Because the judgment day, we're going to have to answer to God for not being obedient to his truth, to his gospel. So being confident of the very thing, that which you have begun a good work in you, will perform it. God going to do it until the day of Jesus Christ. So God have begun a good work in us. We ought to encourage one another to continue to do that work because it's a good work. And yes, there are times when we're slack on areas of encouraging and inviting others to come. But it's a work that needs to continue. It's a work that we need to do as Christians. Even as it is met in verses 7, even as it is met, as Paul said, even as it is met, it meant for me to think this of you. Because I have you in my heart as much both in my bonds and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel. You are partakers of my grace. Paul says, much as it means for me to think right of you, as the word also means. This is the way I feel about you. To think this of you, because I have you in my heart, as much both in my bonds and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel. You are partakers of my grace. Paul saying, you are partakers of my grace. Paul saying, you are supportive of me and what I'm doing. You are helping me. You are encouraging me. You are supporting me. You are encouraging. You know, preachers need encouragement too. Did we know that? Those who preach the word of God need to be encouraged. And we need to be supported, need to be helped out. You know, it's not about just the minister, it's about us because we are one. We are to perform what God wants us to perform. We don't expect for one person to do it. It's something we have to do to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And even if it meant for me, or it's right for me to think this of you, Paul said, you share in my grace, confirmation of the gospel, and partakers of my grace. You share in my life. Because Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. This is Paul's life. And they're sharing in what Paul believed and what he lived. And that's the same way it is with each of us. We are to share in what we are living. If we are living this life, we are not perfect, as I said, and I don't really like to use that word, but I'm gonna use it a little bit today, because sometimes we think that when a minister is preaching, that you have to be a perfect person. No, we are not perfect. We won't be today. We won't be when we die. But one thing we need to be faithful unto God. We need to be faithful unto God, and God said, I will give you a crown of life that shall never fade away. And being faithful is to live up to where God wants you, not where Brother Bible wants you, not where Brother Cherry wants you to live up to. We have to live up to where God wants us to. And you know how we do that? You know why Paul could remember this church from day one up to this point? Because they was taught. Because they were lying themselves. Not only they was taught, but they were lying themselves to learn. We have to grow. We have, you know one thing I wrote down last night, I think Deborah was up when I was jotting that note down. I said, to grow, you got to know. If you want to grow, we have to know. We have to know what God wants. We have to know the kind of life God wants me to live. I have to know the kind of personality, the kind of person I need to be. Because a lot of times we get an attitude with people out there in the world. If someone said a wrong thing with me to which they don't know, it's the way we handle it. It's the way we come across to others sometimes. So we have to know in order to grow. We have to know the kind of life we need to live. We have to know the kind of people we ought to be in order to bring others to God. If we're going to grow, we need to know. In verses 8, Paul said, for God is my witness, recorded in the King James, how greatly I long after you. And bows affection, which is also mean of Jesus Christ. So Paul is saying, for God is my witness, how greatly I long after you all in the affection of Jesus Christ. Paul said, you don't know how much I love you. Paul, you know, that's why the Bible teaches God is love. Paul loved because this is what God is. God is love. We can't be less than what God wants us to be and please God. God is love, and we have to be loving. We have to be that person, and we have to work on it at times, because there's some hard-headed people out there, and sometimes it's hard to love them. And we have to pray for them that I have a loving heart. You know, my wife used to laugh when we'd be riding down the road, and I'm arguing with cars and can't even hear me. I'm just arguing away. And you know how people, you ever have people to cut you off and you just start up? I don't use the cussing word, but we just start up on it. Oh, that person, he know that. He know he was wrong, clown. and sometimes, so we have to pray a lot of time, because people will do, and you can imagine some of the things I'm going through in a big 18-wheeler. So and you do, you have to pray. You go down the road bouncing in the truck, and sometimes you just have to start praying. Because there's a lot of people out there, woo, well, how you scratching your head up and down the freeway. But you have to pray. And that's the way it is even when we deal with one another. We're not always pleased with one another, but we want to make heaven our home. We want to be that person. We want to make a difference in this world, in this town, in Hillsborough. And in order for us to do that, we have to show people who we are. And those small things. And Paul going to mention this in a few minutes. We can't allow ourselves to be drugged down with small stuff. We need to know in order to grow. And this I pray in verses 9, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, in all discernment. We need to discern the good from the good. You know what I mean when I said that word judgment means discern. You know what I mean when it say to determine what the good from the good? It means the thing that we discern as being good is not always good. That's why we need the scripture. Now, it's okay for me, say for instance, someone who's a drug addict. If he walk up to me and say, Brother Bibles, can I borrow $10 from you? I'm hungry. Good discernment is feed him. Don't give him the $10 because he's not intending to buy no food with that $10. If you want to help someone and you know he have a problem, you don't support him by giving him money. If he's hungry, feed him. Now, if one thing to just say, no, I'm not going to help him and turn because you this or that, and you turn your back on him, that would be wrong with me to do. But you ought to support him in the sense of if he's hungry, then give him something to eat. Don't stick $10 or $20 in his pocket. You think he going to the McDonald's? You don't want no food then. You don't give him the money. You support him in what he's doing. So that to me, that's called good design. We have to design the good from the good. Something that we feel we leave out and say, I have done a good deed. We don't boast about it, but we just saying ourselves, we feel good about what we've done, but a lot of times we don't realize that when it's someone who's having a problem, we sometimes can support the problem. In order to help the problem is, and if we know that person, is to sit there, is to give him some food if he's hungry. If he needs clothes, then we need to go buy him something. We don't need to say, go down here and buy you a pair of pants, son. We need to go buy the pair, go with him to get them. Because I believe me, if you give him the money, you just supported what he's doing. It just been seen to be that way. So we have to be able to discern the good from the good. And it said that you may prove things that is excellent. Paul is saying here, things that matters, that you may prove things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offenses until the day of Christ. We need to prove things that matters, even in our life. Sometimes we can get bogged down with things just don't matter. It really doesn't matter. You know, even, and since Paul is talking about the church, things that don't matter is when we allow something to get so heavy that it'll cause us to fall out. And that's like, don't you know people have got arguments about where they sit in the church? Where my seat, those things don't matter. Even though I love sitting right over there where I'm known to sit, but if you beat me to that seat, then that means I'm going to have to move further up or move further back. So I'm just saying those are things that don't matter. Those things shouldn't break us up. It's small things. You know, the book say don't sweat the small stuff or the big stuff or whatever it says. So those things doesn't matter. Those are things that shouldn't break us up, shouldn't tear us apart, because they don't matter. That's why God said, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and glorify thee. We don't want no one to hear about us. Well, I heard they had a fallout. They had a fallout over what? Because somebody said somewhere, somebody said something to so-and-so, and it got going. So that is what we don't want them to hear about our faith. in Christ Jesus. The good we are striving to do, even though we're small in numbers, and we're going to grow if we know. I believe that. As long as we stay in the knowledge, we stay in the knowledge of God. Stay in God's love. That's what Jesus called. Paul said that it's keep yourself in the love of God. And that the love of God is God's words in our heart, living it and teaching it and making it known to others. That's what keeping ourselves in the love of God is. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may prove things that are excellent, prove things that matters to not only us, to others. We need to prove those things, church. That's how we encourage one another. That's how we encourage others. And the last verse is being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praises of God. We are to be filled with the fruit of righteousness. That's our life. That's the way our life ought to be. That's the way God wants each and every one of us to be. Want our life to be filled with his righteousness, with his fruit of righteousness. And each of us can know this, can live this. Because God, one thing I learned a long time ago, God don't tell you to do anything that you can't do. When God tell you, you know, when I always have to throw this in there, God said, spread a rod and spoil a child, you better start spanking that child. We'll quit listening to Oprah. Time out, don't work. God said spank them. He didn't tell you to beat them. He didn't tell you to beat them. Anytime God tell them, because I'm gonna tell you what, you know, the only thing I see them making a whole lot of is prisons. Have you ever noticed that? You go to East Texas and you go down south of Houston. I have never in my life seen so many prisons. There's prisons everywhere. You go on the back road, if you don't see nothing else, you're going to see a prison. Brother Gary, am I right? It's more prison down south. It's a 35 on the other side of Houston. It's not interstate. And I used to go Sealand or some Sea City or something. I can't even remember the city I used to go to years ago. And I told some drivers, man, I ain't never seen so many prisons. It's all down here. Nothing but prisons. There's a herd of prisons on the back road, and bugs on them back roads. And you know why they are prisons? Because we fail to do what God teaches us to do. People don't believe that, but we are failing to do what God teaches us to do. He didn't tell us to beat them to death. We know the difference between a spanking and beating on somebody. It's simply saying we time out. Sometimes time out might work, but my definition, Brother Rick, of time out is you better get it. I'm in a time, yeah, you better get on time out. And so, but we have to do it because that's what God tells us. And yes, it hurts. It hurts us. It will hurt me to spank. I don't think my daughter got a spanking for me. She got a spanking, but she didn't get a whole lot of spanking for me because not that Papa didn't, I mean, Dad didn't want to spank her. But if she got caught doing something that she didn't supposed to do at that time, I would spank her. But she was a sweet little girl, and them boys, they sweet too, but they did it, stayed in a lot of trouble. But, you know, and that's just the way it is. So well, we can't, and even though it's hard to not do something that we know we love our babies, but we have to do it because this is what God said. The prison not there because we don't know why they just built it. It's there because we're not doing the thing that we ought to do in reference to what God teaches us. And it doesn't matter because things are changing. Have you realized that this book will fit in any generation? This book will fit in any generation. We didn't have to change this Bible in 2001. This book was fitted even before I was born. They was reading the Holy Spirit, the Holy Bible. They had the book before I ever know what the book was about. It's still here. And it's going to meet us all in the judgment. You come to God by hearing his word. The Bible teaches us that we are to believe that. We are to repent of our sin and confess it. He teaches us to be faithful unto death, and he'll give us a crown of life that shall never fade away. I hope and pray that you got a thought of the message. If you have any questions, you may feel free to make it known as we together stand and sing a verse of invitation song.